Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 32, entitled Entanglement in Fruitive Activities, Text number 19. Nanam Devena Vihata Yechachuta Katasudham Hitva Shunanti Asadkataha Purishamiva Vitbujan Nunam. Certainly. Dayadena. By the order of the Lord. Vihataha. Condemned. Jay. Those who. Sha. Also. Achutta. Of the infallible Lord. Katha. Stories, Shudham, Nectar, Hitva, having given up, Shimbanti, they hear, Asatkataha, stories about materialistic persons, Purisham, stool, Eva, light, Vipujaha, stalled eaters, hogs. Translation by Zivangis. Translation purport by Zivangis, C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Such persons are condemned by the supreme order of the Lord because they are averse to the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are compared to stool eating hogs. They give up hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord and indulge in hearing of the abominable activities of materialistic persons. Please repeat. Such persons are condemned by the supreme order of the Lord because they are averse to the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are compared to stool-eating hogs. They give up hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord and indulge in hearing of the abominable activities of materialistic persons. Everyone is addicted to hearing the activities of another person, whether a politician or a rich man or an imaginary character whose activities are created in a novel. There are so many nonsensical literatures, stories and books of speculative philosophy. Materialistic persons are very interested in reading such literature, but when they are presented with genuine books of knowledge, like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Vishnu Purana, and other scriptures of the world, such as the Bible and the Quran, they are not interested. These persons are condemned by the supreme order as much as a hog is condemned. The hog is interested in eating stool. If the hog is offered some nice preparation made of condensed milk or ghee, he won't like it. He would prefer obnoxious, bad-smelling stool, which he finds very relishable. Materialistic persons are considered condemned because they are interested in hellish activities and not in transcendental activities. The message of the Lord's activities is nectar, and besides that message, any information in which we may be interested is actually hellish. End of purport. Omagyanan Tinihandasyagyana Salakaya Chakshul Mijamnat Toshmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutade Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nevishesha Sandavari Paschatasya Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sirvaita Garadha Shivas Hari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again, such persons are condemned by the supreme order of the Lord because they are averse to the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are compared to stall-eating hogs. They give up hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord and indulge in hearing of the abominable activities of materialistic persons. Very strong translation, sloka here, from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the positive alternative. Srimad Bhagavatam is a, what we say, far out literature. That you can't, it doesn't care for any other opinions, because it's Srimad Bhagavatam is absolute. Srimad Bhagavatam is only discussing the pure unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, nothing else. Whereas everything else, more or less, is subjective or relative to the, in the world. So even the even the scriptures here we're reading about those entangled in fruitive activities. These are pious people. These are civilized people who are turning to God to fulfill their needs. They're pious people. Krishna says there's four kinds of pious people turn to me. So these are pious people. Krishna recognizes them. I'll just recap. daily, these are persons who are addicted to this material world, which is everyone. They daily, execute their prescribed duties very nicely with great faith. They daily perform all such prescribed duties with attachment to the result, fruitive result. Such persons, impelled by the mode of passion, are full of anxiety and always aspire for sense gratification due to uncontrolled senses. They worship the forefathers and are busy day and night improving economic condition of their family, social and material life. They are called Trivargika because they are interested in the three elevating processes. They are averse to the Supreme Personality of Godhead who can give relief to the conditioned soul. They are not interested in the Supreme Personality's pastimes, which are worth hearing because of his transcendental prowess. So these persons are condemned by the order of the Lord because they are averse to hearing his wonderful activities. They are compared to hogs. They give up this, they'd rather hear the stories of mundane persons, as we heard the other day. Another Hari, they'd like to read his books, not the real Hari, which has no intrinsic real value for anyone, for anything. So here you see, now, these are good people, right? The Trivargi, they're considered perfect in the material world. Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha. These are the four perfections of human life. So generally people aren't interested in liberation. They're interested in again the comfortable situation, enjoying right now. They're not so broad-minded. But anyway, they're dharmic. They're turning to God. They're considered high-class people. And with that, they become prosperous. They get a lot of facility. Arthur comes from dharma. Following the rules. And with that facility, they can enjoy. So that's it. But that's as far as it goes. So God is the order supplier. So there's not much interest in hearing about his particular pastimes. So there is very, very heavy. It's very nasty. It says it doesn't say they're condemned by the Supreme Lord. It puts it very nicely. They're condemned by the Supreme Order of the Lord, which means if you don't follow, you're condemned. So it's not Krishna's not cruel, and, you know, and he's not condemning them, but if you don't follow, you're watch out. So they're condemned like that, and they're compared to stool-eating hogs. Right? These are first-class people, right? following Dharma, and they're compared to stool-eating hogs. So this is the subjectivity. Srimad Bhagavatam, it starts, Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out these cheating religions, kicks out Dharma, kicks out Artha, kicks out Dharma, and kicks out liberation, moksha. Okay. Kicks out that. These are the before. What is this Srimad Bhagavatam? So that's Srimad Bhagavatam starts where liberation, these four perfections leave off. When one is liberated, now let's start talking. This is a real thing. Right? You found your way out of the material world to this very complex thing by Dharma, etc. By performing these good religious activities, by behaving, you know, like a good, you know, hog. And you've wiggled your way out somehow or other by Krishna's mercy, not by your necessarily by your own endeavor, because the endeavor is to enjoy the nice things. But by performing the activities, by taking the medicine, by performing the activities, by following the rules of the Lord, that is the saving grace, and that is what has brought one to that situation of. In other words, it clears the illusion by hearing about the pastimes of the Lord and the truth of the world. It actually liberates. It actually frees one from the illusion. This is what is actually going on, purifying one of one's contamination, thinking that we're part of this material world, and we, by our adjustment, we can be fully, you know, satisfying and comfortable. So it destroys that illusion by following these principles which are set down by God. So that's what that is the magic of it. That happens practically automatically. So therefore one may be known as a karmi, but then one, after many births of enjoying like this, one becomes a gyani. It means that one is when one becomes little more disinterested in material and facility or sense gratification for one's own enjoyment, because still one is not satisfied. That's our experience. We only experience one life. We forget about the others, but we've heard. And by being good huggies for many births, we actually get that. Some realization then, Dharmic people. Then it's not so, the material pleasure is not really satisfying, right? When you wake up in the morning, it's all, the day before, it's all gone, all that enjoyment's gone, all that endeavor, all that stuff is gone, it's just a memory now. Now you've got to work again to get through the day to achieve something else. But nothing's lasting, you see. So then they begin to inquire, what is the real purpose? Then they're known as gyanis. So after being gyanis, it means they're more introspective. Then they read the more essential parts of the scripture, the spiritual parts of the scripture, more transcendental aspects, or the more transcendental scriptures, like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishnu Purana, etc. then they get more and more more broad-minded, more vision, and then become to that understanding, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, after many many births, surrender to Krishna. Even that's difficult to surrender, as we know. We've heard Vasudeva Sarvamiti, although we haven't gone through that rigorous process of Gan or Yoga, but we, by some causeless mercy, we've come to accept that, but we turn as servants of Krishna and we should surrender to Him. But even that is very difficult to do unless one is thoroughly purified, that the to actually control this, to actually surrender to Krishna is not a common thing, right? That there's always something else to do, always, we're always putting it off, let me get this situated, let me get this out of the way, then I can surrender with an open, free open mind with no anxieties, let me just resolve all my problems, get everything, my family nicely situated, then I can surrender to Krishna. And so that never happens, there's another trick of Maya. So we know that, you reach a point in our lives, or you may reach it many times, you get like sick and tired of the mind, you know, that it's always got a better idea, and you never really said it, you never actually come to the point of surrendering to Krishna for very long. So it's kind of frustrating, and you may hit that point, you know, many times. You're going to do it, you become determined to do it, and it goes away again. Eh? And then again you're out in the material. Well, so it's so fantastic. It's not pulling any punches here. It's just giving the direct, you know, as it is, truth of things. That because nobody comes in the material world to surrender to God. That's the first premise. So already you're off on a bad foot. You know, we come here to be God, right? To be the controller and enjoyer. And that's, you know, so we're into this world through the agency of the chit potency, the jiva is from the originally, the spiritual energy of the Lord, the chit potency. And then within that, then all this other achit shakti comes, this maya shakti comes. And then we're looking in that, we're bewildered, thinking we're part of the achit shakti, we think we're these bodies, we think we're that. And then we're searching and through different ways, different avenues and different religious processes and philosophies, how to, you know, be peaceful. How to remain a status quo, at least get the be peaceful. Shanti. That's why liberation is so valued, because it's difficult in the material world. But along with the but what are you dealing with? Then it's all relative. It's all the achit. It's all relative. And it's all subjective. So even the scriptures, they're subjective because there are different rules for different classes of persons. Eh? Different orders. Krishna's, they're categorized in four different civilized states of consciousness. And also there's different rules for them. So one rule doesn't apply for everyone. So the truth is also subjective in that respect. But Bhagavatam is not subjective because Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. Whether you look at Krishna from the top, the bottom, back, front, inside out, he's Krishna. He doesn't change. He holds his own all the time. He's God. So from his vision, now his vision. This is we're talking from that vision now. All this piety and so called, it's just. Different subject matter for the hugs. But then again, what else is it? You've got to do it. You have to go through that, you see. So you come in as soon as you're in there within the achit shakti, then we're figuring out what is good and what is bad. We're pious people, right? We want to get out of this material world. We want to go back to God. What is the best way? What is the best religion for me? What is the best path to take? This is good, this is bad. And then we have so many different opinions. Each of us, everyone is different. And it may be necessarily true that there is one path is better than another for another person. But really it means, you know, what I like, what I can take, what I can handle, what I like to do and what I don't like to do. Even though there may be, you know, there are good paths to follow, I don't want to do that way. I want to do it this way kind of thing. So my own consideration, because my goal is still not for Krishna's pleasure at this stage, the goal is still my pleasure. So if I'm looking for pleasure, why should I take a really troublesome path? Let me take one that suits me, which is common sense. If they all go to the same goal, if everything all lead to the same goal, then why not take the easy path? You can enjoy on the way and get it. So this is the bewildering situation of the cosmos. But also from the chit-shakti, there comes actually into the achit, there comes spiritual also. The actual chit potency comes in its original form. Shaktiman enters into the chit potency in the form of his name. That means his name, fame, pastimes, glories, paraphernalia. His associates, his dharma. So they're also within this material world. But they're not part of the material world. So they're reality. They're not subjective either. They're reality. So if we, now we have to, this is the subject that we have to connect with. Because they're eternal, they're real. That's Krishna's mercy, that he's actually entered into the material world in these different aspects. So this is a real subject. This is a real subject matter. This is what we should be really interested in. Because this is the only, anything else is mentioned here. It's very heavy stool. Not pulling any punches, the stool. Inasmuch as, if you engage in anything else, what would be the result? You'll get another birth in the material world, which is bad. So therefore it's still, it's a waste of time. The best you can do is to improve, get a better body, that's all. This is the very best you can do. You get born in a better situation by following these other things, other ways. It's the very best. But you're still in the material world. You haven't resolved the problem at all. You just move the load from the one shoulder to the other. It feels easy for a little while, 100 years or a few moments, whatever, how long you're going to live for. But it hasn't resolved the problem. In your next birth, you're going to, you know, wake up in the morning, you've got the same set of problems. So no, there's no satisfaction in the material world. The soul can't be satisfied with matter. This is illusion. So that is, so Srimad Bhagavatam is part of that, is from the internal potency of the Lord. And it's very bold, it's very brave. He can say this thing. Other people can't say this. Your religious path is leading you to hell. And they don't say it. Krishna says you shouldn't say that either. You should encourage those people to follow their particular path, even though if they're less intelligent, they're worshipping the devas, even though they work, but still you shouldn't discourage them. It's better than nothing. It's a path by the Lord for those who are not ready to go back to Godhead, whose inclination is not to go back to Godhead. At least to make a sacrifice to go back to Godhead, their inclination is to be happy in this life, in this world, this life or the next life. So therefore then, you encourage them, at least by following this religious path, they're going to get purified. Gradually the Dharma and Raja will go away, if they're following. And also they're going to meet saintly people, if they move in those circles. This is the benediction. they're going to bump into the Krishna's internal energy in some way or another, in the form of his name, prasad, service, pure devotees, and that will do that touchstone. They'll bump into those touchstones, and that will actually stick. And then when that sukriti builds up, that birth will go away, you'll come back, get the karma, that will go around, the karma will come and go, but that sukriti sticks, when you get enough, then you can become, the intelligence becomes, consciousness becomes cleared. So that's, it's all coincidental. Apart from hearing the glories, name, fame, glories, pastimes of the Lord, it's all coincidental. Whatever situation you have to be in, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, As long as you come into, as long as that brings you into contact with that, with the pastimes of the Lord and hearing about the Lord, then it has some value. Otherwise, on its own, it doesn't have any value. By itself, it's no value there. Nothing has any value except hearing and hearing about the pastimes of the Lord. Hearing, remembering, serving, seeing the deity form, seeing the beauty of all his serving the devotees, etc. That's what's real. That has value. Nothing else has any value. But if it brings you into contact with that, then you can say, then it has value. So therefore you shouldn't discourage people who are actually dharmic. You didn't tell them you're wasting your time, you're just in Maya. Because they're gonna, if they stop it, what will they do? Will they take to, will they surrender to Krishna? Will they take to spiritual life? Will they take to transcendental activities? We can encourage them, but if they're not going to do that, then they should do that. It's better than nothing. It's at least it's civilized. At least it's progressive. They will get that benefit sooner or later. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, fantastic. Not caring for opinions. He can give an opinion and not be. I was talking to one gentleman once in the temple, and I was talking about, you know, Krishna's a Sarvadharma. He said, "Yes, that's another thing." He says, "Krishna's so selfish. Why only me? You know, Mamita, why only me? Why is he so selfish?" I said, "He is the most selfish, but it's in your interest. It's in our interest." He's thinking of us, not himself. Although if he wasn't so selfish, then we would suffer. He's saying for our benefit. Everything he does is for pleasure, for his pleasure and the devotee's pleasure. But everything he does it's for our benefit. What we perceive in this material world, everything is good. Krishna. Even those that don't like Krishna, they become successful. At least they get liberation. Right? As long as Krishna's there, they're in touch with Krishna. Even their demons, they're in touch with Krishna. They're envious of Krishna. And they know it, and they say it, and they show it. They're in contact with Krishna. That's the benefit. If it's not Krishna, then it's usually a waste of time. So anything, as long as you can't come into contact. So this is material world. So Krishna designed it like this, so you can come into contact with those things, and this is your religions, path, karma, dharma, in different ways for different people. But this is what one has to extract from it. Here we get this information firsthand, directly from the Srimad Bhagavatam, without having to go through all of these lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of, right? So that's the mercy of the devotees of the Lord who go and give it to you right on the street. You have no intention, you have no idea, you're not interested in spiritual life. You're not even interested in religious life, maybe. Right? Someone sticks a book in your belly, here, take this. Do you good. And here we are. For somehow, for some reason or other, because we've come into contact with someone or something that has come into contact with this, Krishna's arrangement, the internal energy of the Lord. That's why we're here. No one can deny that. If you trace it back, everyone, we all come back through this same way. So that's the that's Srimad Bhagavatam, not pulling any punches, given directly. It can say that. It can say that. And you can't argue. From that perspective it is. Another section, it will be saying, it will be glorifying the dharmic people and the path of dharma in one sense. But then, the other scriptures, that's all they do. Srimad Bhagavatam made it for a little bit. Just like Krishna encourages Arjuna for a little bit. Follow karma, become a yogi. Then the enemy figured it all, Arjuna. When Arjuna is distressed, I know I don't know what to do. You've told me, Arjuna, don't worry about all that. Just surrender to me. By my grace, because you're my friend, you get a shortcut. Don't worry about all that. So, that's the bottom line. Now what else is it? What are they doing in the spiritual world? No jnanis, there's no yogis up there in Golok. This is for Krishna's pastime. They're all engaged in serving, they're engaged in activities for Krishna's pleasure. Everyone. They're all engaged in activities for Krishna's pleasure. There's no old people up there. So everyone's engaged in doing something. And it's all for Krishna's satisfaction. So that's reality. That's reality. So we can, if we accept that, hear that, believe that, and then we can also practice following their footsteps. How do they serve Krishna? What is Krishna like? Because we know, to please Krishna, they know how to please Krishna the best. So then we follow in their footsteps. And they also come, those associates also come here. Come into this material world and tell us and show us this is the way to do it. Come in ordinary, they appear in an ordinary human, like an ordinary human being in an ordinary form and show us up. But actually they're from Krishna's personal entourage. Some of them. And they just tell us what to do. This is what they do in the spiritual world, and you do it. They do it with love. We don't have love, okay, we don't have love, at least for anything but ourselves. But if you follow this process, you actually, when you learn how fantastic Krishna is, he's actually better than me, you know, then you'll have a, you'll have a change of mind and realize, you know, what a fantastic person Krishna is, that he is the Supreme Personality. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for a relationship with some, you know, we make friends with people that we like the best. Who's the best person? It's Krishna. It's going to be, if you know about Krishna, then it's without doubt, he's the most wonderful person. Kindness, the best friend, the best lover, the best son, the best father, the best master. Whatever you want, he's the best. You can't. There's no comparison. If you know, now we're not sure because we don't know him so well. But by hearing about him, either directly or through his devotees, then this is actually the magic. Krishna is coming into our lives, into our existence, and purifying our existence. And then when that happens. That is our good fortune, because that means then we're qualified. When we have actual attraction for Krishna's pleasure, when his happiness becomes more important than our happiness, then that is a qualification that we can go back with him. So then the whole business of samsara is finished, and we go back there to be with Krishna in the spiritual world, hearing, doing the same thing, hearing about the pastimes of Krishna. Discussing him with the devotees, thinking how to serve him, how to make garlands for him, how to clean his paraphernalia, how to sew for him, how to tell, or spontaneously go and tell others about him, like the preachers now. If you like your service, the brahmacharis and brahmacharinis who are preaching and book distribution, you can do that also. No book distribution, but you can go and tell everyone about Krishna, what he just did or what you just heard, or that's all that's going on there. So everything is going on there, but that's the imperfection. So whatever nature we are, we can dovetail. That is Krishna's kindness. He's given us some way we can connect to that. But as long as it's hearing about Krishna's name, fame, qualities, pastimes, paraphernalia, devotees, etc., then that's all. That's what we need. So as much as we can mold our lives to include that, that is for our success in life. It's all given very directly from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sarvabhad ki jai. Kavabhaktavinda ki jai. Any comments, question on this? Be enthusiastic, Gopal. Anyone who? Srimad Bhagavatam starts where liberation finishes. It begins where liberation leaves off. Anybody who reads Bhagavatam is considered liberated. Prabhupada said if you carefully read the first 9 cantos, you will become self-realized. Then you can appreciate the 10th canto. But not everybody becomes self-realized. Devotees don't work on the laws of karma, no, not pure devotees. To be liberated. What it means to be a devotee. It means to act for the satisfaction of the spiritual master. That's the bottom line. until you act for the pleasure of Krishna, when we're more evolved, when you establish our relationship, we can do it for Krishna. But because we don't know Krishna, we just heard about him, we have faith that he exists, etc. But we know that we can. Now Krishna's appearing through the agency of the spiritual master. Oh, the devotees, pure devotees. So follow them, follow their advice, assist them. That's liberation. Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, that's liberation. While you're doing it. As long as you're not, you know, thinking of something else, thinking of sense gratification, that's liberation. Self-realization is different. A little different. Prabhupada ki jai.